And we'll see what we can see. We have as many days as we can. We'll try. Lord, Chalid Mar. Okay, so the story begins. Very quickly, there's a big party. Bishnah Shalosh L'Malcha, right? Hashreish makes a party. Hashreish makes a party. Achashresh makes a party, okay? What is the party about? Okay, what is the party about? So we mentioned last time. We mentioned last time, right, the understanding, right, the Maisa was a celebration of the destruction of the last hope of the Jewish people. And it makes a mishteh, okay? You see the word mishteh many, many times in the Megillah. Okay? Anybody knows how many mishtehs are in the Megillah?
74.
13.
It's a nice trivia question. I'd like you to go look at it, study it, and get back to me. 13. Go study it. And then come study it. And then we can... the point is that on Purim, you're supposed to have a shot for every... Mishteh. What does a mishteh mean? What does the word mishteh mean? What does the word mishteh mean?
A party.
Mishteh does not mean a party. Mishteh comes... Any Israelis here? Any Israeli? Come on. Mishteh comes from the word... Shtia. Lishtot. Lishtot.
What is a party without drinking?
There's no food here. Mishteh is found many times in the Megillah, like I told you. Who cares? I don't care what he says. The word mishteh, dude, look at the word. You see the word shoteh in there? Yeah. Not shoteh. That's what that is. Look in the mirror. I'm saying mishteh. I'm just joking. Mishteh, good joke. Shoteh with the top. Shoteh, right? To drink, shoteh. Shteh, Coca-Cola, right? Have you been walked the streets of Israel? Drink Coca-Cola. Okay? Lishtot means to drink. Mishteh. I know your Mora told you, you know, like in third grade, oh yeah, there was a big party. What party? Booze, man. Booze. That's what it is. Okay? Vashtiya kadas, enones. There's tons of wines, all different types of mishteh hayayin. And like I told you, it's found it many, many times in the Megillah. It's my homework to you. You're going to come back and tell me exactly how many mishtehs there are. And then if you come to my house in Purim, we'll see if we can drink as many... Yeah. Shots as we had
deal.
Yeah, so I don't know if I shouldn't say that, but okay, deal. I'll give it a try. Okay, I'll be a long gone. But I'll never get there. Okay, in any case, so Rabbi Yisai, so that understand that's what a mishteh is, and what is it that they're celebrating? So again, destruction of the Jewish people of the Beis Hamikdash, or as the Yalkut says, to get the Jewish people to do wrong, and for those who learn Yeredeya or have learned the Sefer Avodah Zarah, they know there's something called Bishalakum, there's something called Stam Yenam, there's something called what else is on that list? Things that you're not permitted to do or eat from God. Pasakum.
Chosam.
Yeah, Chosam is different. It's true. It's Chalavakum also. It's true. Vinasakum. It's also true. But there are things that are, there are laws that have to do with having a relationship with a Gentile. Never drink with a Gentile. Okay? Some people say never drink. Judaism doesn't say never drink. Judaism just says never drink with a Gentile. It's usher. It's prohibited to drink the wine of a Gentile. It's prohibited to drink to Gentiles to make food for you. Even if it's totally kosher food, 100% but that's kosher food, it's usher for them, it's usher for you to eat that food. Even if the Gentile leaves. These are laws. Allah and Shulchan all. Okay? Who?
My Gentile.
Your Gentile makes you food?
Yeah.
Tell me. Is your Gentile circumcised?
No.
It's a woman. Okay. All right. Apparently, I forgot this is Africa. Okay. Who knows what they did there? All right. No further questions.
She's gone on thingy courses. Though.
My question is, she's non-Jewish.
Yeah.
And she makes you, she rubs sticks together to make the fire? You put on the fire. Okay. So you're following Shulchan Aruch. But if she turns on the fire and cooks certain foods, so the food is not, it's not kosher, you can't eat it. We're not learning Hilchos Bishul Akram right now, but if you turn on the fire, that means you're part of the cooking, or if she makes you food which is not real, not Oyla al Shulchan Malachim, okay, which means it's not, you make you a coffee, it's not a big deal. She makes you a bull dung. She makes, I don't know what you call, what do you call it, whatever. They make you a real not kosher, a real dish. You're not allowed to eat that. Why? Mishum chasnus. You're not permitted to marry a Gentile. Okay? So if you do these things, you're not married. The point is, if you drink, it's revelry, it's wildness, it's fun, it's you know, it's what happens, it's exactly what happens when you go to the club.
I don't think they would go to Mishum.
When you go to the clubs. What happens in the clubs? Did you know what happens in the clubs? And it happens even between Gentiles. There's even people that aren't even trying to know each other. Just who knows what? You hang out with not kosher people doing not kosher things, and once the booze is flowing, there's no stopping. There's no telling where anybody or anything will end up. That's how it goes. So the goyim are smart because if they get the Jews to come drink with them, it's not going to be cool. Smart dudes. And then there's the Ibn Ezra. He says, you know why they made a party? Because you understand what I just said before? I just, it's like the Benoz Moab. If we get the Jews to do Averis, so then they themselves will self-destruct. We don't have to do anything. Okay?
We started getting the Jews to be with Benoz Moab. Benoz Moab was that one. They were getting Benoz Moab to up our Ezra.
Okay, but in this story, the Jews are going
to
go get drunk with the guy. It's not going
to
be cool. It's not going
to
be cool. They're going to get them to do wrong. And Hashem will destroy them by themselves. They're just doing it. In any case, and then there's Ibn Ezra, which I have a geschmack from, who said that, you know, he made a party. That was his wedding. It was a wedding party. Right? I love those couples. They've been married for like 2 years. You know, we've been living together for 10 years, but now we're getting married. You know. Okay. In any case, so they're getting married. They have a party. That's the wedding.
Nice.
That's the wedding party of.
So he killed his wife.
Of exactly. Wife. What a wedding that was. What a wedding, man. What a wedding. First of all, the longest wedding ever. Okay? Read Perek Aleph. It's 180 days plus 7 days. 187 days. That's a lot of days, okay? And make no mistake, ladies and gents, you know what was happening in the Mishteh of 187 days. Mishteh. It means if you thought you could get stone drunk after drinking all night, try drinking 180 nights in a row. Nights and days, day after day after night after day after night after day after night. I mean, by the time it gets 187 days, you can imagine Achashverosh is, I mean, wasted is not the word. It's not the word. The guy is so loaded. He's so drunk by the time you end. I mean, do you know what 180 days is? Like a half a year. Do you understand that? It's a half a year long. Try to have a Purim suit for a half a year straight. You understand? The guy is completely decimated. Okay? That's what's happening here. That's what's going on in this story. In any case, so he kills her in the middle of the wedding. Okay? After 187 day party, and of course, you can only imagine Achashverosh's mom showing wedding pictures to her friends. Here's Achshi. And here's Achshi dancing with Vashti. You know, and you see like a couple of months later, you know, they got to the chuppah or the bedekin or whatever, you know. And it's like, they're in the middle of the party. It's like, oh, so where's
the end of the party, Sadie?
She's like, oh, we don't have pictures from the end. Okay, in any case, so what happens? The pasuk says they had different
They had different parties. The men had a party and the women had a party. And that wasn't because they were from Williamsburg. Okay? It wasn't because they were from Williamsburg or whatever. Manchester. Okay? It's because it's interesting. You have to wonder they have different parties. Well, guys and girls are different. They like different things. You know, for the guys, it's all about, you know, the booze and the steak. And the girls, I know. They're looking for nice furniture, nice paintings, you know, salads, right? They definitely eat salads, right? That's what it's about. Different menus, milchiks, you know, the milchik. It was quiche. Mazel tov, you know? Okay, so, onion soup. It was onion soup. All right, in any case, so, fine. So the Gemara says something. Now, I love the fact you already know the Gemara because it helps me. Megillah Yabez on Bez. It's a Gemara which I feel is so important to know. It's so important in Yiddishkeit. In Yiddishkeit. Says the Pasuk. Says the Pasuk. Here. Says the Pasuk. ביום השביעי כתוב לב המלך ביום אמר למומון בזיזוך הרבינו בצבע בקצת הרחקה שבאס סריזים ומישהו עושים אז בני המלך החשבי ראש להביא את ושי המלכה לפני המלך וכז המלכות להרוי סמים ועצורים אספיה עצמרי. What does he want? ויהי on the seventh day, when Ketov Lev, his heart was nice and Ketov Lev HaMelech Vayayin, his heart was nice and happy, with happy hour, on day 187. Okay? And he said, okay, bring me Vashti in a royal crown. Now, you guys know, you know the Gemara, right? Her royal crown means only her royal crown and nothing else at all. That's the...
Who was on the seventh day of the beginning of the party? When in the party was it?
187 days.
So that was the last day where they brought the...
Yes! Yes! So
on the seventh day?
So, yeah, it ends. That's the day it ends, my friend. That was the end of the party.
Shabbos.
Right? Says the Gemara in Megillah Yabez. What does it mean by Yom HaShvi? Mazer, you know the day? What does it mean? Why is it so significant? Says the Gemara is something awesome. Maybe you can read the Gemara, maybe. It's something awesome. You know what it means by Yom HaShvi? It means, it is a contrast, but Yom HaShvi means the seventh day of the week. Shabbat. It means?
Shabbat.
Shabbat. That is paying that it was on Shabbos. And what's the significance of this? Because the Gemara is trying, the Torah is trying to, the Megillah is trying to, it's okay, is trying to contrast Shabbos and this party. Why? Says the Gemara, because we need to contrast the difference between the difference between the way a Yid drinks and a Goy drinks. Between a Yid drink, the way a Yid drinks, and the way a Goy drinks. And the Gemara says something so deep and important. Amar Rav Yom Hashvi Shabbos Yishi Yisrael Oichlin B'Shoyisim Maschilim B'Divrei Torah B'Divrei Teshvachos. Aval Ovdei Kechavim Shoichlin B'Shoyisim Ein Maschilim Al B'Divrei Tiflos. V'Chem B'Sudas Yisrael Zorosha Alalu Am Midyos Nos Alalu Am Rav Parsios Nos Am Lama Chashvash Kli Shani Mishtamish Bo. What's happening? What did I just read? Okay? Achashverosh says, it's so drunk, and they're all drunk, and what happens? When a guy drinks, what's he thinking about? Yeah, these inhibitions. Right? What does alcohol do? It removes your inhibitions. It removes your inhibitions. So when you really want to say, you say, awesome. So, for a Yid, who's kadosh and pure and beautiful, when he gets drunk, what comes out? Toises. Rashi, the Gemara, a Yiddish Avolt, a Hargoshas Tshuva, a Havas Reus, a Havas Hashem, Tshiva Shlema, whatever it is. And Mistikai. A Yid. What does he say? What does it? He says Divrei Torah. And she resists the Shbachot.
But what happens when a guy gets drunk? The truth comes out. And what's the truth? Oh, this girl's cuter than that girl, and that girl's a better figure than the other girl, and this girl, and that girl. And the Gemara says that all the nations, you understand, there are 127 countries, and they're having Miss everything there. You know what I'm saying? Like Miss, it's not, it, basically Miss, all the misters of every country is talking about all the misses of every country in order to get to the ultimate Miss Universe. That's what's happening. That's what's happening here. You understand? Yeah, I hope not too familiar. So, so one second. So that's a story that's taking place here in the Megillah, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. Oh, the people that, ooh, you want to see what my people, you know, and the guys in New York are like, yeah, I got a girl, she's the most beautiful girl you ever seen, right? We are the most beautiful girls, right? Oh, sorry, I meant Zimbabwe. Okay. And the Spanish are saying, you know,
forget,
you want to see what a beautiful girl is? I tell you, the girl in my country, the most beautiful girl in the world. Okay? And on and on and on and on. And they're all drunk. And they're all talking about proskite. What am I supposed to say? I don't know what to say. They're talking like animals. Okay? So Ahasuerus, he gets right in there. He's like, oh, you guys, yeah, he was totally drunk.
That's the most beautiful girl. It's my girl.
And the way the Lashon in the Gemara is, Kli She'ani Mishtash Bo. He calls her a Kli. You just see what the Gemara says. Yeah? That's what he talks about his wife, right? The girl that I use, okay, she's the most beautiful of all. Okay, and the Gemara actually says, Vashi was actually the most beautiful woman. She was one of the most beautiful women in world history. She's one of the beautiful women, right? So, fine, okay. But that, you know, there was him against the British and the French and the Chinese, you know, whatever. And the Viennese, you know, the Viennese. Would you like to sit with our Viennese? Okay, so that's what happens. That's what happens. So of course we know what happens next. She doesn't want to come out. He kills him. So after so when he's angry, what does he do? The Torah says, the Gemara says, actually, first he went to the Jewish advisors because they're the smartest, right? Because he wants the smartest people's advice, right? So he goes to the Jews, and the Jews are like, oh my gosh, right? Damned if we say, damned if we don't. If we don't help the king, he's gonna be upset. We tell him that she's disrespectful. Kill him. He's gonna be hung over. When he comes back to Earth, he's gonna be upset. There's nothing we can do. We can't say don't kill her because that means we're not protecting his honor. Anyway, Mordechai and the Jews do the best. You know, you saw the Gemara. They do the best maneuver. They're like, you know, we're just not smart enough to answer this question. Why don't you go ask Haman? Ask Haman. Yeah, exactly. We used to be smarter, but now we just don't. You know, Haman's a really, really smart dude. Exactly. Go talk to Haman. He can answer the question. So yeah, I go home and I was like, and Haman, of course, absolutely. Now Haman had his eyes. Chazal said he has his own daughter. Okay, he was hoping would be talk about this maybe the next year. What he had in mind. So fine. So she's killed, and then of course Perek Beis begins. There's a terrible shidduch crisis. I always get a kick out of Rashi and saw it again today. I get such a kick out of the first Rashi in Perek Beis. When the pasuk says Zacharis Vashti Ves Asher Asasa, it says Rashi Zacharis Vashti Es Yafya. I get such a kick out of that. In other words, he murdered his wife, and then he feels bad. He misses her. So what does he miss about her? Yeah, he doesn't miss her. He doesn't actually miss his wife. He just misses that she was very beautiful. There's no one as beautiful as her. So all the girls that he wants, he doesn't have
someone that's beautiful. That's why he misses his wife. Like that is his remorse. Because she was so beautiful and now I lost her. I love that. I think that's hilarious. In any case, so then the Shidduch crisis, and then everyone's busy trying to read Shidduchim with the king. Okay? So there are Shadchans and Shadchandes everywhere around the kingdom trying to set up the king. Okay? And they're like, listen, we have this great guy for you, Achashverosh, he's very fat. Likes to drink. He's a little bit of a drinking problem, but he has a lot of money. Family has a lot of money. Tov, okay. So tell me about him. Well, he was married once before. He was. What happened? It wasn't very good chemistry. It's not very good. Tell me what happened. Something happened. I don't know. It wasn't clear exactly what happened. Something didn't go right. It was the girl's fault, you know. She did not communicate very well. So, in any case, so you understand that there's a whole beauty pageant, and he's trying to go through, you know, how to get the right girl. You understand from the psukim, it's clear he didn't care anything. There's only one thing. You only need one thing. You know, like, what's on your list? You know, Shidduch list. Well, she has to be this. She has to be this. There's nothing. There's no list at all. It's just a matter of physical rating. That's the only thing that makes any difference, right? So, you know, the interview process was a very interesting interview process. You know, the dates were a little bit awkward. You know, there wasn't that much communication. It's kind of like just a silent date. Yeah, like she'd go out with him and be like, okay, so let's get started. Yeah, that's what it was. There's nothing like, oh, so you come here often? Yeah, like, oh, where are you from? Yeah, like, he doesn't care. So much so that the pasuk said they can only call her, they would only come back if he called her by name. Right? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You know, so he would sleep with every woman, every beautiful woman. And then you would only sleep with her again if you called her by name. But he didn't even know their name. He didn't know their name. He never met them. All he did was sleep with them once, right? He had the interview. You know, it was a night interview, okay, for the job for the queen. Okay. So, and by the way, you see from Rashi in Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, you see Rashi says that he actually would not even talk to his own wife. You see it because you see later. It's actually an amazing Rashi. Rashi tells us. And he calls Esther. He wants to speak to her. So, because he would only speak to her through messengers. Can you believe that? Because the king felt it was beneath his dignity. No, because the king felt it was beneath his dignity to actually talk to his wife. Isn't that amazing? Rashi says it. Okay? It was beneath his dignity to talk to his wife. So he would only where are we going on vacation? And he would send him. Oh, like, so where are we going on vacation? Or what's for dinner? And she said back, what's for dinner? He wouldn't even talk to her. I think that's amazing. It just gives you a little bit of an insight into who Achashverosh is. Yeah, but it shows you who he is, right? So then what does the Torah, what does it say? After he would sleep with the girl, he would send her to the, you know, to the, what we call the harem, right? He would send her to the Beis Hanashim. What is that called? That's a place where the girls get locked up. You see, you think that it's like, oh, wow, look at that, all the ladies, you know, they're trying to figure out who's going to be the queen. You know, that was, it was a death sentence. It was a life destroyer. What would happen? You would get to the king, you were just walking down the street, you happen to be a good-looking girl. They'd take you, kidnap you, take you away. The king would sleep, one second, it gets worse. The king would sleep with you. And then, that's it. You're locked up forever the rest of your life. You think, oh, they went free. No, there were hundreds and thousands of women just locked up in these harems. Because, that's what the pasuk says, because you couldn't leave. Because, what do you mean? The king slept with you. You can't now sleep with someone else. Right? So you just stay there to rot forever. Right? And who's in charge? The Srisin. Who's the Srisin HaMelech? The Torah says, the pasuk says. Guys, I'm assuming you know the Megillah. Right? The Srisay Amalek. What are the Srisay Amalek? You know what a Sris is?
Yeah, it's castrated.
Castrated, okay? You can understand. There were these 7-foot guys with like massive machine guns and big muscles. And they talk like this. Because the king cashed it. These guys are going to be in charge of the girls. He doesn't want them to mess around with his girls. Right? So there's no way to do that unless you be with Sarah Sota. That's pretty awful. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. Okay? The guy's a butcher, man. The guy's a... What a sick guy. Okay, Achashverosh. So fine. So who is he? Wait a second. So, fine. So then he marries. What happens next? He marries the most beautiful woman of all. Who is, of course, what's her name? Esther. Fine. So, then you get to the end of Pericles, and there's a plot to kill the king. Bixen and Tzarech want to kill the king. Why do they want to kill the king? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry to be, sorry to tell you the true story. It's not so nice. I mean, it's a little entertaining, but it's not so nice. The Gemara says, because he was driving them nuts. Bixen and Tzarech, what do they do? What do they do already? What, their life is so terrible. They're servants of the king. Yeah, but they have no peace. Because Achashverosh all day with his girls. If you're on a night shift, he would like open the door every 2 minutes. He's like, water! The Gemara says, he was driving them crazy. the guy was working way too hard. He was desperate for water all the time. And these guys, you know, they want to like, these night watchers, they just want to, you know, have coffee and eat their donuts and watch TV. And the Mahashiri is driving them nuts, driving them crazy. Like, we can't handle this. We might as well kill the king and get a better job. I'm serious. That's what the Gemara and Raji says. So Caesar's like, listen, we're going to kill them. Okay? So we're going to kill him. So they plot to kill the king so they can have peace in mind and they will have a king who actually sleeps through the night and leaves them alone. Fine. So, of course, we know that doesn't work out very well. And Mordechai hears what's happening. So, and then we introduce, and this is just a little bit of a thumbnail sketch, really, of Megillah. We'll see. Look, let's just see. We'll see what we can see. We'll continue. Next. Why? Then we're introduced suddenly to Rabbi Haman. Haman shows up. Okay? And Haman does what he does. And Mordechai refused to bow down to him. Why doesn't he bow down to him? Why? Why?
He made himself as a god.
So exactly, he made himself a god, and in spite, so disappear. In other words, Haman, we don't realize the story. Mordechai would show up specifically to be there right when he was coming, yeah. And like everyone fall down, and he's like standing there like this. Dafka, now it drove Haman nuts, made him crazy, right? The Gemara says, I told the Gemara says we don't make fun of other people except for Avodah Zarah. In other words, if you're an Orthodox Jew, we're not mavaza other things. We're not. We don't look to be mavaza people. That's a very big thing. Like we want to treat people with dignity, except for one thing. The Gemara says, except for one thing. I told you this once. No? The Gemara says there's one thing that we actually try to make fun of. What's that? Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara goes ahead and starts telling dirty jokes. The Gemara tells dirty jokes how to make fun of Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to even repeat the, I say a lot of things. I cannot even bring myself to say what the Gemara says. Okay? I will not say it.
The Gemara could say it.
Yeah, it's okay. The Gemara makes fun of Avodah Zarah and phrases that the whole world knows. It comes from the Gemara. The Gemara makes fun of Avodah Zarah, right?
Whatever.
So one second. The Gemara talks about it in the end of the third paragraph. So that's the point. So we're trying to make fun of Avodah Zarah.
I remember.
Dafka trying to make fun of them. Stick it up. Right? So the Gemara says there, yes, that's what the Gemara says. Can you imagine rabbis talking about it? It's crazy. Take care of Avodah Zarah. Whatever. In any case, So sometimes I'm talking to a group, so you're talking to a group and they're like, Yeah, I can't go on record saying whatever. Okay. So Avodah Zarah, you can make fun of. You're allowed to make fun. Fine. So he's specifically trying to be Mavaza Haman. Now Haman, he's going nuts. The guy's going crazy because he has an insatiable desire for cover. And this one guy is ruining him. Okay? So, fine. So, gosh, there's so much to say. But what's he supposed to do? See, think about it. Let's just talk about the story. What's he supposed to do now? So he finds it beneath his dignity to kill just it would have been so much, the story would have been so much easier for Haman if he just would have killed Mordechai. That's it. He was more important than Mordechai. Just kill him. But he can't bring himself to show that it's obvious. He's just offended. No, in other words, Kilo, what, you're not bowing down to me? Oh, I'll kill you. In other words, like, what, I'm going to, like, Kilo, I care about you? He has to make pretend like he doesn't care about him. Who are you, right? But he's insanely jealous. So the guy actually decides, it's such a diabolical plan. We're gonna destroy the entire nation of Israel just because of one guy. He doesn't bow down to me. That's the pashup shot in the story. Part of the pasuk says it. Right? Because he can't kill one person, he has to kill the whole Am. Am Mordechai. It's nuts. Think about that, it's crazy. The pasuk gets just the pashup shot in the pasuk. Right? So you see what it means to be a Balgaiva. Someone has such an ego. He does crazy things in order to protect his ego. Okay? So, he has to go talk to the king. Right? And when he tells the king, I spoke about that a few weeks ago, Parshas Vayakel, and then, ultimately, he bribes him with money. He bribes him with money. He says, Amachad Mufuzar Mufurad. Right? We spoke about it. He says, look, Yayin Esach, they won't drink your wine. Right? They won't drink it. You yourself can make a cup of wine, and you won't drink it. Right? The Gemara says. So, fine. So, in Paragimel, we already see it. Paragimel, Pasuk Yudalid, is a death sentence. Okay, he puts out a, he makes a poor. So much to talk about. I'm just going through the story. Hope it's done. We'll do what we can do. He says, guys, Leos Asidim Leom Azeh. The Jews have to be ready. ready for what? Ready to die. Ready to die. That's what's happening. Right? On the day that you're going to... On that day, you're going to be ready. Achashverosh is willing to... He wants to destroy a nation. Now, Haman... Read the story. He says, Yeshno Amachad Mifuzar Mifrad. He doesn't even tell his name. You can tell what I'm saying. Let me be clear. Haman does not even tell Achashverosh... In that initial conversation, he doesn't tell him which nation is about to be annihilated. He's asking him, you, Mr. Achashverosh, please sign here. And he says, okay, so what do you want from me? Who should I kill? He says, it's okay, it's a bad nation. I don't like this nation. So Achashverosh says, okay. In other words, to me, again, it's to me, that's such a big question mark. The guy is supposed to be the king, he's the king of the world. Right, he's actually king of the entire new world, modern world, the real world. I don't know what you call it, old world, the world, world. Okay, all every country, and he's willing to exterminate millions of people without even knowing his name, without even knowing their name. Isn't that amazing? Just stop and think about what that means. I guess he figures it'll be a surprise. Haman will surprise me. He goes, look, if he can marry a woman without knowing her name, right? Think about it. He married Esther without even knowing who she was. He's even married her for a long time. He still doesn't know where she is. He doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know where she comes from. Let's go to your in-laws for Pesach. You know? Let's go to your parents. Oh, no. You know, I can't tell you who my parents are. He's like, okay. He's satisfied. He doesn't care. There's only one qualification. You need to be the queen. He actually doesn't know her. It's amazing. It is, to me, it's such a model of what you shouldn't do. You know, you want to love a woman? Learn from this dude. Everything he does, just do the opposite. Okay, he doesn't even know the woman. I think that's amazing. In any case, so where were we?
Yes.
Now here's what's amazing. Here's what's amazing. What the Torah says is, what the pasuk says is actually an amazing, amazing, amazing secret. Every time I think about this, it's amusing, and it tickles the brain. Okay, the pasuk says in Perek Beis, "Ubihikavetz b'sulos shenis." Okay, and you learned in the Gemara that Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, what was he doing?
Perek Beis pasuk.
He was trying Perek Beis pasuk. Perek Beis pasuk Yutes. Achashverosh, all he wants to do, right, at a certain point, is he's very curious. He's like, hey, Vala, I really wonder who she is. He tries to get her to say. So he does all these different tricks. Try to get her actually to say her name. She won't say. See, he goes to the smart dude, right? The smart guy. Where does he go? Mordechai. So, Mordechai says to him, you know what you should do? You should bring back more besulas. Because every woman wants to be a favorite. You know, wants to be the favor, wants to find favor in her husband's eyes. So just ubihikavetz b'sulos shenis, right? What should you do? Go get other girls, bring them around town. Go out with other girls, and she's gonna see. She's gonna be jealous. She's gonna tell you. Okay. Now, let's make a quick mention of another part of the story, which again I assume you know. What did it say in Perek Aleph? In Perek Beis, excuse me. In Perek Beis, who is Mordechai? Hold on, where's the pasuk? Help me with the pasuk. I don't have it open. So it says, how's the pasuk start?
Ishudi.
Yeah, pasuk, right. So pasuk Zion, thank you. But after Ishudi, it says, Vehi omenes hadasayes terasto doki en levayim. Ben roye fasto ava. Okay, she was very beautiful. Vumosa via vihima. Says the Gemara, "Al tigid levas el lebayis." It means she was an orphan girl. She had no one, especially if you learn Maseches Ksuvos. You learn about nedunyas. This girl had no parents. Now, a girl with no parents in those days is the biggest nebuch case, because no one's ever going to marry her. Why is no one going to marry her? Because in those days you had a nedunya, and the father would pay you a lot of money. Right, father of the bride would pay mad cash to some dude to ride her to ride off into the sunset with his daughter. Why? Because women didn't work, right, in those days, and a woman was a very big financial burden. Okay, those are just simply the fact. So who's going to marry her? So he marries her. Mordechai adopts her, raises her, his first cousin, Esther, and then marries her. No one else is going to marry. Yeah, first cousin. No one else is going to marry her. He marries her. So Achashverosh is married. Mordechai is married to Esther. An important part of the story. Again, if you've never heard it, it's very important to really understand. Okay. Now, what happens? She's so beautiful. She's walking down the street. She gets kidnapped by some people on the girl squad. You know, stealing girls for the king. Okay, you're coming with us. So Achashverosh is married to Mordechai's wife. There's nothing that you can imagine. There's nothing that Mordechai would want more than, nothing that any man would want, to have his wife to himself. What is this? Right? Correct? So Mordechai, he's like, how do I, so when Achashverosh comes to his wise man Mordechai, he says, please, could you tell me how to get my wife to tell to who she is? She says, you know what? Why don't you bring back other besulas, and then she'll be very jealous, you know, and kick her out, basically, you know, kick her out. Don't be married. Go with other girls, okay? He's only more than happy to get Achashverosh to lose his wife. You pig! You know what I mean, I hate you, right? Okay, fine. So, what's interesting is that. What's interesting is that the Gemara says it. You saw the Gemara, I think. I hope the Gemara says that he actually would go. Esther would be taken to the king. She'd leave the palace,
She'd go to the mikveh and go back to her husband, Mordechai. Esther is having an affair. That's what's happening here. The whole Megillah, again, your Mora didn't tell you that in third grade. She probably didn't know it herself, actually. Okay? But the whole story, and this, throughout this whole story, Esther is having an affair. With who? With Mordechai. In other words, with her husband. With her husband. She's really married to Mordechai, as the Gemara says. Right? That's what's, again, like I say, it's so interesting. So, fine.
How come Mordechai be Yehuda?
Huh? That's the Gemara's in Suba, it's the Gemara in Tosfos, there's a whole long sugi about this. How could, very big sugi. La halacha, how's that possible? And that's what the Gemara says, that she
did not know.
Karka Olam, yeah, that's exactly, this is it. This is from this story, you see it. She was passive, and Achashverosh would do his thing. Not for now. So, fine. Yeah, it's still complicated. In any case, Rabbi Yisai, so what happens next? Okay? What happens next is Achashverosh. What happens next is terrible, right? Then there's a terrible decree, and the Jewish people go crazy, and they realize they're going to die, and someone has to do something, and Mordechai goes to Esther and says, "You better do something to save us," right? Like we learn. Fine. So the pasuk in Parakeh says. Esther goes to the throne room, and she says, "Look, His Royal Highness." Could you do me a favor? Anything. Okay, Perek Hey, Pasuk Dalet. Atomer Esther, Imal HaMelech Tov, Yavo HaMelech Ve'aman, Hayom HaMelech Tasher, Si Lo. Okay? Let's look at that Pasuk very carefully. First of all, here's where you see the name of God in the Megillah. Okay, everyone famously knows the name of God is not in the Megillah. And here it says in Perek Hey, Pasuk Dalet, Yavo HaMelech Ve'aman Hayom. Okay? Rashi Tevis, Yud Kei Vavkei. Okay? Let Haman and the king come to the party that I am making for him today. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I said. Okay, everybody? Yoni, you with me? Listen to the words.
Page in the stoner.
Page 1256 in the stoner. Okay, Pasuk Dalet, it's towards the bottom of the page. Esther says to the king, "Let the king and Haman come to the party that I am making for him today." What is ambiguous about that pasuk? Come to the. I want the. Let the king. You want to make me happy? You want my favor? Here's the favor I'm asking of you, okay? Let the king and Haman come to the party today that I will make for him.
The king.
Who is him? There is an ambiguity that Esther is injecting into her relationship. And the king is thinking, the party that she's making for him? Who's him? Right? There are only two possibilities. It's either the king or Haman. And Achashverosh, Esther has cleverly created a love triangle. Now, what I appreciate so much is the irony in this whole story. Because she makes it seem that maybe she's having an affair. And guess what? She is! She is having an affair. Just now, it's just Achashverosh killed the wrong guy. That's what happened. Achashverosh killed the wrong guy. He ends up killing Haman, who's not having an affair with her, as opposed to the king, the guy who actually is having an affair with her. Right? I appreciate that so much, right? What? But ultimately, you read the Gemara, yes, that is one of the reasons. That is why he kills.
That is why he kills someone.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
he does. Yeah, he thinks he's, he thinks that she's interested in him, and she's, he thinks that he's interested in her. It's clear, and then he's on the bed with her.
Yeah,
oh. Okay, but it doesn't start right there. It starts right here, where she starts saying, "Oh, come on, forget that, Assisi Lo. Even without that, why in the world is she invite? Could you imagine your wife comes over to you and says, Akiva Flix, you want to go out for dinner? Just me, you, and Pliny Almighty? We'll go out for a nice, quiet dinner in, you know, in Cheyenne. Just the three of us. How would you feel about that? I don't think you like that too much, Akiva Flix. It wouldn't feel so good. It'd feel a little bit strange. What's my wife doing here? What's happening here, right? Kal v'chomer, is it the party that I'm making for him? Who's him? Awesome. Awesome. Ma?
So she was leading
Ahasuerus. No, come on. Come on, if that were you, you wouldn't go to your wife and say, maybe I'm having an affair. And then she finds out you're having an affair with the wrong one. You would say nothing. You don't lead her on. It's not like she's trying to lead him away from thinking that it's Mordechai. I don't think so. She's just trying to play with his brain. Yeah. She's trying to do her job as to save the Jewish people. So she's pulling every stop. She's pulling every stop. I want to tell you that we can talk and talk and talk and talk. I'm ready out of time. I don't know what to do because there's so many different angles and there's so many. I feel like today I was just trying to get through the Megillah just to show you some of the highlights, and then I want to go deep. You know what I'm saying? The next year I want to try to the more of the pnimius of what's happening on the Megillah at Purim. That's very, very important. I thought I would get to it today. I'm not really getting to it. So let me just finish at least some of the other. What I would call highlights, just to see them. I'll be done in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Just whatever I get to. Okay, is that okay? Fine. Anyway, that's very, very sweet. Okay. And then in Perek Hey, you know what? Forget it. I realize that. I'm over time every time. You know what, today we'll just be this late and not later. Okay, today's Thursday. Well, so I'm blessing you, everyone, with a good challenge.